Welcome to Bethel Brandon Sunday Message. Please head over to our website, bethelbrandon.ca, to figure out how we can best serve you.
Now we get into the Christmas season. Isn't that interesting how these things kind of creep up on you? It's kind of like we're into the second week of December. For many of us, I'm sure that we know, as Pentecostal churches, I don't know why we don't, but many churches and many Christians celebrate a thing which is called Advent. You know, you've heard of Advent, kind of wave at me. Almost all of us have heard of Advent. And Advent is kind of something which celebrates the anticipation of something very great happening. And there's purple candles that are lit for every Sunday. One is a pink, and I think there's three that are purple. And last week was the first week of Advent. This is the second week of Advent. And as you talk about Advent, the second week, it talks about lighting the candle of peace and preparation or waiting. That's kind of an interesting when we begin to talk about timing and waiting, because it says in the fullness of God came and blessed us. It says in Galatians chapter 4. And waiting is kind of part of our spiritual development, isn't it? And the problem with waiting many times is that as we go through difficulties, we see things in terms of, I guess, our life. And our life was kind of measured and is kind of bound by this time thing. You know, days, hours, years, looking forward, looking backward, all of those things, whereas the God that we serve is eternal. And to try and reckoning the aspect of us waiting in the context of time, and a God who is seeking to do the best for us as we think of eternity is sometimes a difficult thing to grasp. But if you take a look at this whole idea of waiting, you'll realize that there is a huge section, there are times in Scripture where it talks about not just timing, but waiting. And when it talks about waiting, it's not just talking about a day or a week or even a month. There are many times in Scripture where we see that God had brought his people through extended periods of waiting. They were in the wilderness for 40 years, and they were in slavery for over 400 years. They were held in Babylonian captivity for 70 years. You know that passage which says, you know, the Lord wants to prosper you. You know, this, the ideas of God wanting to prosper us. That was kind of said in the beginning of a 70-year captivity. You know, that there was the time when Jesus died on the cross, but there was a 3-day wait before the resurrection, and then from the resurrection to the day of Pentecost, as the church begins, 40 days of anticipation, of prayer, all these things. And now as the church age has begun, we wait for the second return of Christ, and we are still in a point of waiting. We are continually at a point of waiting, of an anticipation. And this is no different when we talk about the Christmas season. Because as you explore the whole story of Christmas, the incarnation, when Jesus comes, there was like 400 years of time that happens before Malachi finishes, the last prophet, and Jesus comes. It's called the intertestamental period, and lots of things happened. There was lots of preparation in that, but could you imagine the time in Israel's history as they're waiting for a Messiah to come, that there was a lot of anxiety, that there was a lot of angst? Some of our key passages of Scripture that we talk about and we quote have to deal with waiting, isn't it? End of Isaiah chapter 40. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall rise up with wings as eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. We even sing the song. We've made songs about these things. Question is, how do I navigate? How do I handle the gap between the promise and the fulfillment? Because that isn't an easy thing to do. Because there is a heavy burden that happens while we are waiting for God to move, is there not? There is weight, W-E-I-G-H-T, in the wait, W-A-I-T. So how do we wait in the midst of the wait? So this is kind of a hard sermon. This can be, for some of us who are here, a painful sermon. Because I don't know if I can tell you exactly when God is going to arrive and minister to whatever you are going through. I don't know if I have a solution other than the fact that you have to trust in God. And so maybe this sermon, my hope is this message today will be the gas station that you fill up on as you continue to journey with whatever Christ has gotten you to do. You know, and this somehow, at this time of a season, becomes even more apparent, becomes illuminated, it becomes more difficult. And maybe that's because Christmas is a time for joy. 'Tis the season to be jolly. Sometimes we don't feel so jolly as we're waiting for God to move, patiently hanging on. And plus the fact that Christmas represents the arrival of a long-awaited king. It's hard to wait, especially in an instantaneous society. I order something from Amazon, I expect it tomorrow. What's happening? I'm on the phone. What's going on? Why haven't I got my parcel yet? And we get weary, and we get tired, we get frustrating, and there's this impending doom that looms over us, and we get discouraged, and we have this feeling of abandonment. And sometimes we just lose faith. And if we haven't lost faith, our faith sometimes becomes scarred. It tempers our faith. We become bitter. We become resentful. And for some reason, we feel like God has stood us up. You ever had that feeling? It can be frustrating. Can I show you something? Just kind of a sidebar in this whole process. Luke is usually the passage that we read when we talk about the Christmas story. It kind of has more of the details in it. There's a spot in Luke chapter 1, verse 13, and it's a time when the angel is talking to Zechariah as he's in the temple, and he's saying to him, you're going to have a son, John, who later becomes John the Baptist. Remember the passage? Let me just read that quickly to you, okay? Then the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you will call him John. Wonderful! Here's the thing. Most people believe that Elizabeth was close to 60 years old when that baby was supposed to come. You can't tell me that Elizabeth at 58 years old, is still on her knees saying, God, I want a son. This was a prayer that had probably stopped 20 or 30 years ago. Sometimes waiting can be absolutely the most frustrating thing in the world. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? And there's a difference between patience and perseverance, right? Patience is kind of where you're sitting there and you kind of got your wits about you and just kind of disciplined yourself to hold on. Perseverance says there's a fight going on here. Not only do you have to wait, you have to fight. There is a battle which is taking place. There is a stubbornness which is necessary for you to get yourself there. You persevere because you are too stubborn to let the other thing happen. You know, this whole thing. Waiting for the healing, waiting for the promotion, waiting for a miracle to take place, waiting for a solution to your dilemma, waiting for Mr. or Miss Right. No? Okay, no hands going up. That's good. I don't see that. Waiting for that relationship to be restored, waiting for the circumstances to change, waiting for that person who you know is ruining their life to wake up, waiting for that acceptance letter, waiting for myself to start feeling better, waiting. We find ourselves many times in what we will call a holding pattern. You know what the holding pattern is? Is when you're just kind of in the air and you're not landing, even though you feel like you should be landing. You ever have that? You go to the airport and for some reason you've gotten there early, or for some reason there's a problem that's on the runways and you can't. And so what you do is you circle around. That's happened. Guys, don't give me that blank look. Right? You circle and you circle and you say, how much gas is in this plane? And eventually somehow you get yourself down on the ground, or you're going on a trip and you have three kids in the back seat and you're going from Brandon to BC, And then somewhere around Verdun, the kids in the back start to say a famous phrase. Are we there yet? You've been there. Or how about being in the line at Christmas, and there's three lines seem to be going quite well, so you choose the one that you think is going the fastest, right? And then someone pays a bill in quarters, dimes, and nickels, and you're standing and watching the other lines just go there, and you're stuck. You're stuck. And sometimes life represents that whole aspect of things. And if you are here and you are waiting, and I can't help but think that there are many people who are waiting for something in particular, you are not alone. And there is discomfort in waiting, but I'll tell you this, there is also development in waiting. That there can be a dullness in the distance, that the hope seems like it's 100 miles away, but there's a determination and a discovery that happens while we wait. And while we are waiting, we think that we can bring, it'll bring deterioration, but many times it brings delight. We get to a destination that we can never ever get anywhere else unless we somehow wait. And so in Luke's gospel, chapter 2, there are two people that are mentioned in scripture. They are only mentioned in this place in scripture, and then we don't hear of them again. But for some reason, I think that there is something that they have to say to us. And if you look closely, you will see differences between the one and the other, although it's written at the same time. So if you give me a couple minutes, I want to kind of talk about what they represent and how this ties into the Christmas wait, okay? And so if you have your Bibles with me, turn with me to Luke chapter 2, verses 22. To 38, I'm going to kind of just piece that one together. I'm not going to be reading all of those verses, but follow along with me. He says, now when the days of her purification according to the law Moses were completed, they brought him, that being Jesus, to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who opens the womb shall be called holy unto the Lord. And offer a sacrifice according to what it is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves and two young pigeons. And here it starts. He says, and there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was with him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought the child Jesus to do for him according to what the custom of the law, he took him in his arms and he blessed them. And you can, if you continue on, you will read the blessings and those incredible things that are said to Mary and Joseph at that particular time. Now let's go to verse 36. It says, now there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. And she was of great age and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. And this woman was a widow of about 84 years, who had not departed from the temple, but served the Lord with fasting and prayers night and day. And coming in that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of him to all those who looked for the redemption of Jerusalem. Most of us have read that passage. If you've read the Christmas story, you have read this passage. And some of you may have quickly run through it because you're kind of saying, well, that's kind of interesting. I'm not too sure what it represents or what it does. It certainly represented something to the parents at that particular time. You know, the issues of what was taking place there. And here's the thing. There's some similarities between these two people. Both of them were senior. They were older people. Shout out from the seniors. Yes, woohoo. They're also spirit-led. When you hear Simeon's name in this, the Holy Spirit is mentioned at least four times. And not only that, they were synchronized. They were in tune. They knew that something was coming. They were anticipating the fact that the Christ child was coming. God has somehow supernaturally let them know this. And as a result of what was said to them, it made Mary and Joseph marvel. But here's the other thing that is common about them that I think is important for us to understand today is that both of them appeared to be waiting for a long time. The instance and the context of the scripture seems to indicate that there was a long time of considering, of anticipation for this particular one. They were waiting for years for this to take place. And so this was kind of an important thing, and I think that there's purpose to the waiting. And the thing that is important to understand and to look at this passage is that one had a different emphasis than the other did. So let's take a look at these really, really quickly. The first one is this fellow whose name is Simeon. And the one verse 25 says this, he was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was just and he was devout, waiting for what was called the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was with him. Well, what does he mean by the consolation of Israel? Basically, it's talking about comforting the nation due to the Messiah coming. When the Messiah comes, people will be comforted from the anxiety and the angst and the hurt and the frustration that they were feeling. It's interesting, and this is an important thing because comfort is not just mentioned in here in Scripture, but throughout Scripture, that God desires to comfort his people. Because we all need comforting. We all go through times of loneliness. We all go through times of emptiness. We all go through times of heartbreak. We all go through times of confusion. We all go through times of insecurity. And the Christmas season is one of those times where I think we need comfort. Because yes, there is the turkey, and yes, there is the tree, but there's also the turkey. And there's also the tree. It can be seen in both ways, and this is also the time where there's a rise in discouragement, and the rates of suicide go higher and higher, and we live in a society which is extremely stressful. I think I even noticed it over the last couple of years that we were coming out of this pandemic, that for many of us it was the only time we'd ever seen anything like that. And it just seems many times as I look at it that the people before the COVID pandemic are a different people after the COVID pandemic. I guess I call it the post-COVID haze. And that there are people who used to be here who are not here, or people who were here regularly are here not as regularly. And there's those who have just gotten through things quite well. But there's those who are still struggling. And somehow there has been just a reduction in the passion that we once had for Jesus, and the fellowship disconnection that we're still trying to figure out, and a faith crisis and a futility of intimacy. And somehow we're trying to figure it out. And many of us are still trying to figure it out. And many of us are still trying to get to a point where we say, God, I want to get back to that place where I'm passionately following you. And Simeon, as he talks about this, says this: when Jesus or the Messiah comes, he's going to be a comforter. And Jesus himself, years later in John chapter 14, says, I've got to go, but I have a replacement who is called the comforter. And you see the aspect of the Holy Spirit as he talks about Simeon. He's a man filled with the Spirit, and he's talking about the Holy Spirit moving, and I can't help but think that there is a connection there, that there's something about the fact that when we allow the Holy Spirit to work deeply in our lives, that there's a comfort. No matter what's going on in your life, no matter what you are going through, that there's a leaning on the Spirit that causes us to have comfort in the midst of your most difficult problem. One of the most famous passages on comfort is right at the very beginning of 2 Corinthians, verses 3 and 4 of chapter 1. And let me read it to you and count how many times he says comfort. It says, blessed be the Lord and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which ourselves are comforted by God. Do you think God is trying to say something there about comfort? There's something that happens in the waiting where God desires to comfort us in the midst of it. Amen. The next one is Anna. And Anna is probably just devout or even more devout than this Simeon individual. You know, you ever have these people where whenever the church is open, they're in it? This would probably be her. And she holds a distinction of one of the few prophets in we read in Scripture that is a woman. And she was tuned in, and she knew everything. But here's the thing. What she was emphasizing was not consolation. She began to realize that this Christ child will bring a thing which we call redemption. Well, what's the difference between redemption and comfort? Well, redemption realizes that we need to be rescued, that we need to be healed, to deliver us from the powers of bondage, deliver us from the powers of death, deliver us from the power of Satan, whatever way that is. But it talks about the idea that we are in a predicament that we can't get ourselves out of, and we need intervention from God. We need to be redeemed. We need to be rescued in some way from the chokehold of Satan. In the waiting, we need comfort. But in the waiting, we also need confidence that the God that we serve can rescue us, that the God that we serve will deliver us, that the God that we serve is the source of our strength, that he is not only omnipotent, all-powerful, and ever-present, but also all-knowing, able to heal, able to do miracles, able to deliver us from the bankruptcy, the brokenness, the bereavement, whatever be you, word you want to use to describe your situation. He is there. He is able to do it. He is my God. And despite the fact that I'm in the midst of the worst battle of my life, I know that God can heal. I know that God is there. And the aspect of waiting is an anticipation that God will come through. And we need that. He will be the God to rescue us, the God to heal us, the God to deliver us. And so, I don't know if you need comfort, or I don't know if you need redemption, but I believe that through these two individuals, Crispus represents both. Is it not? Here's another thing. There are two words that mean the same thing when we talk about weight. There is the heaviness of weight, and then there is the time aspect of waiting. There's a third definition of weight, is there not? You know, those people who are in a restaurant talk about waiting on a table. And the third definition could be to serve. And that brings a whole new attitude. It brings a whole new avenue, thing to consider. And it is this, that I need to wait on God while I'm waiting for God. Right? There are people, I don't know if you know this. I'm sure that you do. You're smart people. There are people who are devoted to studying and creating solutions for waiting. They are hired. They hire people. They hire experts to deal with issues that have to do with waiting. A Houston airport hired a team of people to study this because they had a whole bunch of complaints about the fact that they had to wait as long as they could or as long as they did to get their baggage. And so these brilliant individuals got together to create a solution. They said, what we're going to do is we're going to streamline this progress. We're going to hire more people. We're going to make the pathway more easy for the bags to get there. And we're going to shave minutes off the fact that the bags get off the plane at the correct time as fast as they can and get to the baggage area as fast as they can. And so what happened was they still had tons of complaints. And so they continued to discuss this, and they came up with a brilliant and genius plan on how to resolve the problem. You want to know what they did? What they did is that they moved the arrival gates as far as they possibly could from the bagging area. So when you get off the plane and you're walking for your baggage, you say, this is a long walk. Well, this is the reason for it. is that they had those gates as far as they possibly could from the begging area, and they lost all of the complaints. Isn't that crazy? And here's what they learned, that the length of our wait is not as important as what we are doing while we wait. Can I say that again? The length of our wait is not as important as what we're doing while we wait. You see, we can tolerate occupied time, but we're not so good at tolerating unoccupied time. While you are waiting on God, will you be waiting, while you're waiting on God, serving Him, can that help in the process of waiting for God? God, what do I do while I wait? How do I serve you while I wait? So this goes out to all of you hanger-oners, if there is such a word, who are sitting here and are struggling and are waiting for the healing and are waiting for the miracle and are waiting for whatever situation that has you in angst, because in the midst of all the joy, you don't feel the joy because there's a heaviness in your life. There's a famous passage. It was quoted in the New Testament, Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2. We have it up there. It says, the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. Basically talking about the fact that there was a darkness that was created due to the fact that there was a huge amount of time before Malachi and Jesus coming. There was a hurt. There was a darkness. But it says 4 verses later, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, the government will be upon his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. For those who walk in heaviness and a darkness, my prayer is this, that God will turn your excruciation into anticipation, that God will deliver you from the weight of waiting. So God, I just pray over this congregation, the many who sit here in the service this morning, but also those people who are watching through live stream, and this is resonating because the Holy Spirit is speaking, or maybe those people who might be listening at a different time, I'm not too sure. I'm praying, God, that you will reveal through the Word of God that you do care, that you haven't forgotten. That God, you desire to comfort us as we go through some of the difficult times in our lives, and that you are the God that heals, and that we do trust you, and we do anticipate you, and ask God that you will do great things through us. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to this message. If you enjoyed it, please head over to BethelBrandon.ca to listen to our older messages, or maybe connect with us and figure out how we can best serve you. Thanks for listening. Have a great day.